Well, welcome back to another episode here on Charting the Course. I am joined here in studio with our CEO, David Stanley, for another Captain's Corner episode. And it always seems like there is just a thousand things we could talk about, but we're going to try to look back briefly on 2024, kind of look ahead currently, what's in the news, what's going on, and then kind of just end with some of David's advice for what we're telling our clients and investors in general. But David, I appreciate you joining me.
Glad to be here.
How's the start of the year going?
It's going great. It's going great. So if I cough about 400 times, I'm like everybody else that just got over the flu.
Yeah.
So, oh, my Lord.
It's been everywhere here in, it feels like in Oklahoma City, just taking people out. So
apparently we're one of the worst in the country. So
yeah,
yay.
It's ran through our office. So hopefully we're on the up and up. But
yes,
let's do this. Let's look back first at 2024. We did this last year and I really enjoyed it because it's always fun to look back and go, that was that month or,
oh yeah,
or we talked about that, you know, just 6 months ago. But here's a couple of the headlines and then I'd love to get kind of your comments. But you had really a continued AI boom. So you had a lot of the artificial intelligence NVIDIA's continued to go and continue to surge. You had, I thought this was interesting, you had US equity markets achieving over 50 record closings.
Amazing.
Record high closings, which is pretty incredible. Central banks, including U.S. Fed, Bank of Canada, talking about and implementing rate cuts. So that had a pretty major effect. You had the bond market, which we talked about on our Squared Away, but the bond market kind of got back to doing what it does, which is its boring normal self.
Exactly.
And then you saw a shift, and I know you and I've talked about this at times as well, but you saw a shift from large cap stocks, kind of your Fab 7 or Magnificent 15, whatever the names have been,
right,
shifting to small and mid-cap stocks. So of those, what kind of stuck out to you and or what maybe surprised you?
So it didn't surprise me, but when you just see, I mean, the past 2 years, let's not even talk about last year.
Sure.
Past 2 years, we've had dozens upon dozens of new market highs in each year. And about mid-year each year, you have clients going, you know what? I want to wait with this cash because I think we've hit this last all-time. I just saw we hit an all-time high and I'm going, right, and we'll probably hit about a dozen more.
Yep. Before,
and fortunately, they trusted us enough and they've prospered greatly from letting us take their money to the market. But it just goes to show, I mean, no one knows.
Yeah.
No one knows, but here's the deal. That headline, along with the bond market, is really what I want to talk about.
Okay.
Actually getting a call or two now going, Dave, should I even be invested in bonds? You know, people love Trump. They love his pro-growth policies. They even people that despise him, but they love his pro-growth policies.
Sure.
I get it. And should I do away with my bonds? You know, I have it's just now 4.2% is like, okay, it's going to be better than money market over a long haul, but man, and when rates go up, don't bond values go down? And I'm worried these. And I'm holding to the truth. The game we're playing for our clients is most of them a multi-decade game.
Right.
Looking at this over a 1 year period, over a 2 year period, even over a 3 year period is really a poor lens in which to view the future.
Especially coming off back-to-back double-digit equity.
Bingo.
Market returns. What I guarantee this conversation was completely flipped in 2018, 2019.
Exactly.
It was the complete opposite, right?
Oh, I mean, those same clients that may want to get out of bonds today were the ones that when they brought me their money in you know, 18, 19, were worried about the stock market.
Yeah.
And didn't want to have a larger. So I guess when I look at this, I just say the only reason why I would ever recommend anyone changing.
Yeah.
Is because there is a long-term shift in either what they need.
Bingo.
This feels more like a greed move.
Mm-hmm.
And greed moves to me over the short period are gambling. They're either going to make you a lot more or that you're going to lose a lot more than you should. We're in the game of fundamental investing. And it would be for a long talk. If any one of my clients wanted to do that, we're going to have a very long talk.
So we're going to sit down, have a little heart-to-heart. The one last one kind of that we saw last year that I wanted to talk on, that shift from large cap to small and mid cap.
Yep.
I know we've been having conversations with clients because they've watched how we've managed our models, how our investment team has assembled the models, which is we're going to own large cap at a appropriate percentage, but we're still going to have exposure to small and mid. So you saw that start to play out and have a positive effect on returns. So did you have conversations with clients around
I did.
That shift?
I'll tell you, you know this, Zach Reynolds in our investment group, Austin Burke, Sam, they do such a great job.
They do.
They are really the most unemotional people on planet Earth.
In a good way. We mean that. Yeah.
Yeah. At work. At work. And they're very analytical. If you look at, again, over a multi-decade period of time, not over the past 10 years, from 2000 to 2010, if you were just in the S&P, you didn't make anything.
Sure.
Global stocks just were wiped out. They just blew out everything we did here.
Yeah.
Past 10, 12, 13, 14 years, S&P 500. So now you have more people going, why shouldn't I be, when I'm with my equity portion, why should I just own only the S&P 500?
Yep.
Well, there again, you're not broadly diversified. That is making a bet. And that feels like gambling to us.
Yep.
Our job is to keep people broadly diversified so that over a 20-year period, we look like geniuses. We can look like a ding-dong over a one-year period, over a two-year period. We're not going to look like one over a 10-year period. Not the way we manage money.
Right.
And so I look at it and I go, give us the money you want to outperform inflation and give you a reasonable, very good return above that over a very long period of time. If you want to gamble with some stuff, take a small portion, put it over in a Fidelity brokerage account or whatever, or whoever you're using, and pick those one or two names or three names that you think are just going to knock it out.
Yep.
And after, typically my experience is they do it for about a year or two, and they'll have one really knock it out, and then they'll lose everything in one, and they'll go, yeah, it's not as much fun anymore.
Yeah.
Here you go.
You got to pay attention too.
Yeah, but we're due for a sector rotation. We're due for a sector rotation. And if we broaden out this, I mean, to your point, past couple of years, it's been a very narrow technology-driven market.
Yeah, Fab Five, what I think I said already, but Magnificent Seven. You have seven. Five to seven really driving it, and they've changed names here and there, but
if we can rotate down, which it looks like we're doing, and in fact, if you look at what International's done this year, it has outperformed the S&P 500 significantly.
Year to date.
At least year to date.
2025, yeah.
Yeah, we're not too far into 2025.
Right. Well, okay, so that's a perfect segue into, all right, well, there were headlines last year. There's already headlines this year, and we're a month and a half in. You just brought it up. You're seeing the sector rotation. Well, one of the things that can help spur that is kind of economic policies that spur growth into different industries. And so one of the big headlines I've been seeing and reading, and again, on this podcast, we're going to keep this. We're middle of the aisle investors. We don't care who's in. You go back and listen to a podcast last year. I think the last one you and I did, we talked
doesn't
about
matter.
The market does not care. They care about capitalism, economic policies, all that. So
cares,
given the new administration we have, you've got a couple things on the horizon, one of which is potentially tax cuts and then economic growth, just kind of pro-America policies, if you will. So you've got pro-business policies. You've got pro-U.S. corporations, kind of regulations, I guess, if you will. And then you've got two industries, infrastructure and manufacturing, that could see a boon from just trying to keep more stuff here stateside.
Avoid a tariff.
Yeah, right. And so tariffs feed into that. But along just at the economic growth side, tax cuts, the trade and tariffs, what are you kind of seeing and feeling, or how are you communicating with the clients?
So what's funny is I do have some anecdotal evidence of what already's taken place on the regulatory front.
Okay.
We have clients in the energy sector, and we met up mid-January, and they're like, hey, man, I think this drill baby drill is real. And I go, what do you mean? And they go, well, we've had applications in on federal land to drill for several years, and they just got approved last week. And we put in new ones, and they got approved within like 72 hours. So,
wow.
They were like, yeah, man, I think this thing is going to take off. So I do think this administration is really focused on, what way can we take this phantom tax, which is higher energy prices, away from our economy, trying to lower that inflationary tailwind we got right now? Because what people don't realize is we've already raised in prices. When you see the rate of inflation, that's just the rate that it's growing. It's not that it's shrinking.
Right.
So now we still got to deal with the inflation that's there, and it's pretty sticky.
Yeah.
And I think the Fed's in a really kind of an odd position right now, pretty tough one, because they are going to have Trump pounding the table to lower rates from now to the end of the year, and they probably don't want to do it to the end of the year.
So. Yeah, he doesn't really hold back or have a filter when he's talking about anything.
God bless him.
You brought up the energy sector and how you've seen some deregulation. I think the other industry is at a high level, our industry in the finance side. Have you seen anything or read anything from a and we can throw banks into there, but banking, I think even advisory SEC regulations that I think advocating for a little less oversight. I think we've got so overregulated at times that there's just so much red tape, possibly.
I think that's true. And I think it's going to happen. I think those are still something you got to wait to see if it actually plays out. But we did see things happen over the past 3 or 4 years that were pretty amazing. The SEC was very heavy-handed over issues that you would just go, what?
Right.
And they were fining people over what we were looking at going, that's really pretty ridiculous.
It seemed like almost mundane tasks, but it was being done in a way that it wasn't lining up with the way they wanted it, but it wasn't, I think it was money laundering,
Right. Which I think, you know, what they have to make sure is they're unwinding some of these policies. They just don't go too far because we do want that great regulatory framework still in place to protect people. But at the same time, not to where it is a disincentive to business. It's a disincentive to grow. It's a disincentive to take a risk.
Well, it's like anything. You come out of an event like 08-09 and regulations get put into place that are extremely beneficial to make sure that doesn't happen again. But then like any good regulation, it can get pulled too far. And so
leave it to the politicians.
Right.
God bless us.
Hopefully we can come back. We've hit on Fed and interest rates. Any other comments around there?
I think they're cornered till probably the end of the year, but who knows?
Yeah.
They might get some reprieve. If what I think is going to happen with the tariffs is going to happen, they may get some relief earlier because we saw that even today. He bluffs with these tariffs. It's a negotiating tool.
It is.
And now I do believe he'll actually do it.
Sure.
If someone calls him on his bluff, but it's a negotiating tool. And even today, he backed up and said, no, I'm going to just do reciprocal tariffs. The market cheered it.
Right. It loved it.
And rates went down.
Okay.
And so I think if we have a few more of those moments, it could be good. There has to be kind of a wait and see. Although the news flow now, I guess we could not sleep and watch everything that's going on every day now versus the news flow. The past 4 years, it was like the White House was shut down at 9:30 in the morning. Now it's like it shuts down at 9:30 at night.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so it's like I'm hopeful there's not a misstep with all that's happening.
Everything.
You just want it to be thoughtful. I love the deregulation. I do think it's imperative the tax cuts that were implemented that will sunset at the end of this year have to be extended.
Yeah.
That would be a major headwind to our economy and it would be a pretty big blow to the markets if they weren't
extended. I think we started last year having conversations around the possibility that they do sunset. And so nothing is guaranteed, so it's still a good time, just as a side note, to visit with your financial team and make sure that stuff's in place.
Absolutely.
And your estate is in order.
Make sure it's an all-weather asset allocation.
Yeah. Okay, kind of the last thing that I wanted to get your, before we close with a couple of things, the last thing I wanted to get your opinion on some of the headlines is, and you touched on it with the bond market, but I think investor sentiment is fascinating. And you've got people now
that
on November 3rd of last year were extremely down on public markets in general.
Yep.
Some even down on just, are we going to wake up on the 6th and be alive? It's like, and some of those same people now are just emphatic that markets is going to go up. Everything's great. What do you tell those people? Because, I mean, other than a presidency, nothing else changed.
And like we talked about last year, the markets don't care who the president is. It really does. The one thing I think a president can do is do exactly what you just said, set a tone.
Yep.
And if you have someone out there every day going, hey, man, these are the glory days. We're going back. I'm going to do something. It sets at market sentiment. It can make people get outside their actual risk tolerance and go, I want to take way more risk because I don't want to miss out on this. And depending on what event we could actually end up having out there, there's still a lot of geopolitical risk.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Sure.
Whatever event we have out there, the markets are going to pull back on that. It doesn't matter that there's good sentiment.
Yep.
They're going to pull back on that. But the sentiment is what keeps people going. It keeps people fully invested, I think, and or maybe overinvested when everything else they look at, they may be even looking at their own town, their own situation, and it may not be so great. man, psychology.
Oh, it's
huge. If I mean, if someone told me the other day, I said, hey, I could tell you what the markets are going to do based upon all these metrics, but there's no way to gauge human psychology. And that sentiment part of it, it's just really high right now.
Yeah.
And it also, like it or not, they're seeing a lot of stuff get done right now, which people on both sides of the aisle that I have good friends on both sides, they're all going, I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's going to continue on.
Yeah.
I think this year's going to be a really interesting year because we have so many things that could be really wildly positive, and we have a lot of things that could punch against that.
Yep. And I agree with the geopolitical risk. That is so out of control of laws and regulations that we put in place. It's just part of the world. And there's going to be something this year that causes the market to pull back that's out of, well, everything's out of everybody's control, but
totally.
It will come and you'll have to weather through it like we've been talking about. David, a question I like to ask you on a lot of these as we close is, what are some principles that you just continue to hold on to during any given year? Like investing principles, life principles, but what's something as you've gone into 2025 that has kind of been, you've decided this is going to kind of be my guiding principle during this year?
I think it's kind of every year, but I actually think about it more at the beginning of the year on my own portfolios as well as the portfolios we manage. I'm trying to be really self-aware.
Okay.
And I try to encourage my clients to that as well, to greed and fear that lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
And both those emotions can break me financially if I let one rule.
Yep.
And so I just try to be fully aware of those. I take great comfort when I feel like there's order and there's discipline. And where there isn't, I mean, if you have someone just shotgunning you, telling you, well, let's invest in this, and without doing it through a plan, that to me would make it to where I couldn't sleep.
It's out of control.
And so the way we drive everything here starts with planning, creates that asset allocation. 92% of your return comes from that asset allocation. Only 8% of your return comes from market timing or manager selection. Take great, great delight in knowing we have great asset allocations for our clients and for ourselves.
We talk about it all the time. The most important conversation that our investment team, our advisory team has with the client is upfront going, tell me your goals right now. And then we'll talk money and we'll fill that goal bucket up with the amount of money that you're wanting to do. And then we'll put a timeline on there. And if we're talking money in 0 to 18 months, we're going to do something different than we're talking money that's 18 to 36 years.
So true. You know, our colleague, Scott Cravens, I love what he does with the prospect. He goes, okay, when we get you fully invested, I guarantee what's going to happen. The market's going to go down 20%. How do you feel?
Yeah.
And it is one of the better questions I think anyone's, and it really see what fear might look like to them. Because it's hard to see it on people. When markets are doing great like they is now, they go, oh yeah, man, I'll be 80, 90% equities. And then you have one bump and you're calling, people are calling, hey man, is this good?
Yep.
Then you know you've done a poor job.
Yep.
And I think he does one of the best jobs of just getting to the heart of the matter with the client.
Yeah. David, I appreciate it. Anything we left out, anything you would like to hit on?
Not a thing. It's going to be a great year.
It is going to be a good year. It's a good year. We got a lot of good things going on here at Full Sail. Our team continues to expand and grow, and we're always looking for good people to join us. So anyway, I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the month. Enjoy February. Hey, spring's coming. It'll warm up at some point. We'll get through it.
What is that groundhog, though? Is it Punk? Punk's or whatever his name
something
is.
Phil.
Something Phil. I wanted to punch him right in the face when he said 6 more weeks. But anyway, we'll get through it.
We'll be there.
When it's 106 in August, we'll forget about this.
We've got a Full Sail wedding March 8th, so we're looking for some warm weather for Miss Jordan and Mr. Justin. So.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back again next month with another episode here on Charting the Course. Thank you all for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to review and subscribe to your preferred podcast platform. Have a great week. All opinions expressed by the host and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Full Sail Capital. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of Full Sail may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.